They're supposed to be joy in the house of the Lord, right? They make us feel like there's joy in the house of the Lord. Don't you just feel like sometimes you're singing and they're so happy you could just float right on away? Stay there a while. I don't know about you, but I do. I would like to leave the mundane things of this world and just go on up there and sit at the feet of Jesus for just a little while. A month or two. And come back refreshed, renewed, you know, a brand new person. Ready to go ahead and fight the war all over again. There's coming a day. But Father, I truly do thank you. That day is already upon you, my children. That day has already arrived. Joy unspeakable is spreading throughout the land. It doesn't matter what your eyes see. It doesn't matter what the voices are saying. You are walking in joy unspeakable. You are walking in the very atmosphere of my son Jesus. And my Holy Spirit is there to lead, guide, and direct your footsteps. Take a deep breath. Inhale all of my goodness. And then let's just go ahead and start this great revival that I'm speaking about. I have come many, many times, but that was not the time. But today is the time. Today is the time to come into that place in my kingdom where I will send you forth anointed, appointed, filled with joy unspeakable to overflowing. And you will bring the people into the house of the Lord. Many are sitting at my footstool right now. They are listening to the voice of my son Jesus. They are being instructed in the ways that I would have them to go. And soon you will see them on the scene. Soon you will see them performing the great miracles that I have spoken about. Trust me in this, little one. I am on the move, and I am not going to stop. We thank you, Father. We praise you, Lord. Are you ready for the mighty visitation? Because I'm getting ready to visit my people. I'm getting ready to show them there is a God. I'm getting ready to show them that heaven is real. Are you ready for that great visitation? I need your white flags of surrender right now. Surrender all to me. And allow me to come and fill you with my glory. Father God, we receive right now. We receive all that you're doing in the sanctuary. We receive it into our bosoms. Use us mightily, Father. Father, I thank you. And I praise you. And I give you all honor and all glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, oh, God. God said, don't stand on the sidelines any longer. Just move on into his glory. Come into that secret place he has prepared just for you. Thank you, Father. Now, what I want to happen Wednesday night is I want to see you all dancing and rejoicing. I don't want to see you sitting in your seat. I want to see you dancing up and down the aisle. Amen. If the joy of the Lord really entered in tonight, then your body's going to show it. Thank you, Father. People are going to think you've just lost your mind because they know where you're really at and what's going on in your life. But you have that joy unspeakable and you're just dancing before the Father. Well, God is good. Got your hearts prepared. We're going to talk about being offended. See, God had to do all that good stuff for you to give you the word. You know, I have never seen a group of people as the body of Christ is. I don't care what you do, they're always offended. You can say something in the sweetest way possible and they still get offended. So what you have to do is you just go ahead and learn how to say it. Let it come out the way God wants it to, and if they don't accept it in the right way, manner, then they have a problem. If they want to get offended at everything you say, well, that's their problem. And so they need to look inward and find out what it is in them that's always offended. Amen. Brother Christopher said to me this morning, he said, Pastor Barbara, if you get a message right at the very last minute, and he said, don't worry about it, I'll get it together. I said, I don't. You know, God gives me, well, it's your job to get it together. I don't worry about it once I give it to him or whoever's back there. Did he get offended? No. He laughed. Sometimes he laughs when he wants to cry, you know. But no, he wasn't offended. But you know, that's, you know, when you walk with God, you have to be able to move with God. And, you know, and I can't help if he changes things at the last moment or gives me something, or you can't help it either, right? Because you're a vessel that you say, God, here I am, use me. And you have your day all planned out, but God has different plans. And so, or he just might want to get your attention and sort of surprise you every now and then. And you just assume he didn't surprise you. All right. I have noticed myself that the enemy has come back around and is trying to cause us to miss God by pushing the buttons he used when we were first saved. Have you noticed that in your life? Well, if you haven't, it's going on. I want to talk about one of the worst traits he is working on, and that is offense. Let's talk about a new heart. Ezekiel 36:26, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. God has a new heart for us that cannot be offended. It's an unoffendable heart. And that's what he wants to give us tonight. God said, beloved, possessing an unoffendable heart is not an option or a luxury. It's not a little thing. And an offended heart is in danger of becoming a heart of stones. You know, let's just give you an example. My grandson came in the room last night and he said something. And then I answered in return. He said, why you always get ignorant? I said, I didn't get ignorant. I just answered your question. Well, you always get ignorant. I went out and slammed my bedroom door and I thought, that's an offended heart. Because I really did not get ignorant, but you know, an offended heart will take offense at anything you do or anything you say because it's just waiting for an opportunity to act out. All right, consequences of offense. Consider this. Jesus warns that as we near the end of the age, a majority of people will be offended to such a degree that they will fall away from the faith. Listen carefully to his warning here. Matthew 24:10. Then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Already said many will be offended, and the second thing he said is the result, the love of many will grow cold. And this is what the enemy is doing right now. Start being watchful. Even watch your own self. Watch how easily that little thing rises up within you and tries to take control. Everybody in this room gets offended at some point. Throughout the day, somebody's always going to be there to offend you. I get tested and tried every day with these two young men that I'm raising. And sometimes I would just like to walk away because the enemy uses them to speak words of offense. And I have to go into a place and grit my teeth and say, the devil, you're not winning this battle, right? Come on, I'm being tested to my core. Are you? Think about it. Are you really being tested to your core? That's because God is going to use you mightily. And the enemy's trying to take you out right now before he starts using you. The enemy's trying to take you before God can start using you. My prayer is that we will hear his words with holy fear. Hear that, my words tonight is I hope you hear this message about offense with holy fear, because offense is the most terrible thing in the body of Christ. When we allow an offense to remain in our hearts, it causes serious spiritual consequences. In the above verse, Jesus named three dangerous results: betrayal, hatred, and cold love. When we are offended by someone, even someone we care for, we must go to them. Now listen to this. If we do not talk to them, we will begin to talk about them. You hear that? If we do not talk to them about the offense, we will begin to talk about them. You know, go to the person who's offended you. Or go to the person you know is walking in offense and talk to them about it. You can't clear the air if you don't get it out in the air. And if you keep it locked up inside, the next thing you know, you're a time bomb waiting to explode. You know, Brenda might have said something that offended her husband, and she didn't even know she offended him, so he's sitting there stewing over it. Next thing she knows, she says something really simple, and he about bites her head off. You say, what happened to him? Well, you offended, I don't know what they've done, but you offended him, and you didn't even know you did it, and it's been stewing, and now this is the consequences. When we are offended by someone, even someone we care for, we must go to them. I read that, we'll read it again. If we do not talk to them, we'll begin to talk about them. We betray that relationship, whispering maliciously behind their back to others, exposing their weaknesses and sins. We may mask our betrayal by saying we are just looking for advice or counsel. But when we look back, we see we have spoken negatively too far, too many people. So if you're running a business, you have to have your little business meetings. You have to air out what's going on in the business. That's one thing. But whenever you're just wanting to call somebody just to run somebody down, that's a totally different thing. But I have found out that even whenever you're running a business, and you have to get your little group together, and you have to talk to them about what's going on, they get offended. You know, they don't want you to say they're doing something wrong, so they get offended. All right? You have to check yourself on this stuff. We may mask our betrayal by saying we are just looking for advice or counsel, but when we look back, we see we have spoken negatively too far, too many people. Our real goal was not to get spiritual help for ourselves, but to seek revenge toward the one who offended us. How is such action not a manifestation of hatred? For an offended soul, cold love, betrayal, and hatred are a walk into darkness. Read that again. For an offended soul, cold love, betrayal, and hatred are a walk into darkness. When you work with somebody that you know has an offended spirit, you're always trying to watch every word you say to them, because you know if you don't, that spirit's going to rise up there and trigger, and then you have a mess in your hands. All right, I told Aaron something the other day, and he hasn't called me or talked to me since. So I asked him this morning, are we still friends? He said, yes. I said, are you still going to take my car in to be fixed? Yes. You know, but God showed me he was offended by something I said to him. So he said, I'll fix you, I just won't talk to you. He might not have thought, you know, said it out loud, but that was in him because he was offended. A lot of you in here are like that. I can't say anything to you because you're just waiting to be offended. You need to take care of that spirit. You need to get rid of it or it's going to get rid of you. Okay? Okay, endure to the end. People don't stumble over boulders. They stumble over stones, relatively small things. It's not a great big mountain that offends you. It's a little tiny things that they perceive that you're attacking them with. All right? You're going to run across that because of the person that got all upset with me is on drugs. And so when you start dealing with drug people or alcoholics, this is going to happen. You yourself are going to have no offense in you so that whenever they come at you, it won't bother you. All right? It may be that the personality of someone in authority bothers us and soon we are offended. I found that out. When you're in authority, people get offended at you real quickly. They don't like you telling them what to do. Because after all, who do you think you are? That goes on. I'm just telling you what I've witnessed over the years. That goes on. You young kids getting ready to start your youth group, somebody might come and try to tell you how to run your youth group. Don't get offended. Smile sweetly and say thank you. And then walk on and say, I'm hearing God's voice. I'll do what I want to do. No, just smile sweetly. Don't get offended because everybody wants to help, you know. And see, this is where offense comes in too, when people just, they don't mean anything by what they're saying. They just want to help you because they've been down that road and they're just trying to keep you from going, making the mistakes that they made. Now, I'm different with the youth group. I'm going to let you tell me what you're going to do and I'm going to let you fall in your pit. In other words, if you're going to make a mistake, I'm going to let you make your mistake. That's the way you learn. I really won't let you hurt yourself. But, you know, sometimes you have to stumble and you have to grope a little bit in order to grow. All right? Because really, when people start telling you how to do what God told you to do, they aren't hearing what you're hearing. They're only going by their own experience. Are you listening here? Don't get offended by somebody that's just trying to help you, because they just might tell you something that you can glean from. Okay, it may be that the personality of someone in authority bothers us and soon we are offended, or a friend or family member fails to meet our expectations and we take an offense into our soul. You know, I just brought that up with you young kids, because when I first started ministry, everybody in the world knew how I should minister except me. I'm trying to find out my way, and I'm trying to find out what God wants me to do. And I have all these pastors coming at me, tell me what I should be doing, and, you know, and I knew what they were telling me wasn't true. I didn't get offended at them. I just didn't talk to them again. And that's the truth. I didn't, because I didn't want what they were trying to push on me get into my spirit. I only wanted to hear the voice of God. All right? That's not a negative thing. Because people will come at you when you're in the ministry, and they will try to tell you how to run your ministry, and you don't want that to happen. I believe that Sister Naomi had a lot of that when she first started. I remember God would give her words about, you know, the people are going to come and try to tell you how to do this. You know, you have to listen to God's voice and do what God's telling you to do. Matthew 24:13, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. If we will endure to the end, we will have to confront the things that bother us. All right? When Jesus warns that we need endurance, he is saying that it is easier to begin the race than finish it. Isn't that true? Oh, we're all so gung-ho, and by Lord, we're just going to tear down the mountains and kill every, slay every giant in the land. And about 6 months in, you're looking for some place hole to crawl in and hide. It's so much easier to start the race and finish it. And that's why Paul exhorts us to finish the race. Between now and the day you die, there will be major times of offense that you will need to overcome. You hear that? You're going to have to overcome them. You might be in such a time right now. Do not minimize the danger of harboring an offense. No one plans on falling away. No one ever says, today I think I'll try to develop a hardened heart of stone. You don't say that. You're just saying, oh, Lord, it's another day, and a hot one yet at that. You're not thinking about what you're going to do to yourself. I don't think so, anyhow. It is naive to assume it couldn't happen to us. I know many people who consistently become offended about one thing or another. Instead of dealing with the offenses, praying about them, and turning the issue over to God, they carry the offense in their souls until its weight it disables their walk with God. The longer you carry that offense, the heavier it gets, and the more you get angry and you get bitter. Next thing you know, you're falling away from God. And you say, nobody cares about me. It goes on and on and on and on. And it really isn't anybody but you and that spirit of offense that's trying to destroy you. By trying to look at you, have you look at people who really love you, want to help you. And that spirit of offense has you look at them like they're trying to control and manipulate you. You may be fine today. I'm sorry, you may be doing fine today, but I guarantee you tomorrow something will happen that will inevitably disappoint or wound you. Some injustice will strike you, demanding you retaliate in the flesh. Remember this story I had where the pastor preached about me and said I was some devil or Jezebel or something. And then when I got home, somebody said, why aren't you upset about that? And I said, I don't have any reason to be upset. They said, you need to be offended. I said, no, I don't. And they actually talked me into believing I needed to be offended. So I said, okay, I'm offended. And God said, don't go there. And I said, I'll go there if I want to. Well, he let me go there for a whole year. And I never did that again. I didn't have to be offended. What they said wasn't the truth. And I don't care if the pastor got mad at me and kicked me out of the church and did what he did. That's his problem, not mine, because he came and he apologized to me a week later and wanted me to come back to the church. And I said, I don't think so. You know, I wasn't going to go through that. I wasn't upset with him, but I didn't want to go through that again. All right. A, will you find more love and continue your growth toward Christ-likeness, or B, or will you allow that offense to consume your spiritual life? I just told you I allowed it to consume me for a year till God removed it. Don't do that. Don't allow offense to even stay there 1 second. The longer it's there, the bigger it gets. So please get rid of it immediately. All right, the root of offense. An offense can strike at our virtuous, our sins, our values, or our pride. An offense can strike at our virtues, our sins, our values, or our pride. And a lot of time, it's your pride that causes offense to rear its ugly head. So, you know, if you get offended, then you need to get rid of the spirit of pride and work on down the line till everything's out of you that causes you to be offended. It can penetrate and wound any dimension of the soul, both good and evil. When the Holy Spirit exposes sin in someone's soul, if we refuse the opportunity to repent, we often become offended at the person who brought the teaching. Did you hear that? So get ready to be somebody to throw rotten eggs at you or something when you're preaching, because when you preach something that's they're going through, they're going to become offended and say to themselves, how dare they talk about that? People don't want to know they have a sin. They don't want to know that they are in captivity of some sort. And so they walk in offense rather than get rid of it. Instead of humbling our hearts, we are outraged at the person who exposed us. Truthfully, most of the time, I have no idea who specifically needs to hear what I'm teaching, but God knows. And just like now, I say, well, God, somebody in there is walking in offense. And so I'll go ahead and give it. And sure enough, there's lo and behold, not only one, but there's many or a few that are walking in whatever God has me teach on. And he's teaching on it so you can get rid of it. Not to harm you, but so you can get rid of it. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:2 to reprove, rebuke, and exhort when he was teaching. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. He didn't say exhort, exhort, exhort. But exhortation is what we receive in most churches. Certainly we need to be encouraged, but there are also times when we need to be reproved and rebuked. Some preachers are afraid to preach a truth for fear people will react and leave the church. They will. Believe me, they will. The end result is a church of easily offended people who cannot grow beyond their inability to accept correction. Do you see what your responsibility is as a leader? You're going to have to give this stuff, and what people do with it's up to them. Because you are going to have to stand before God all alone and answer to God why you didn't tell them the truth about what was going on. Then they are going to have to stand before God by their self, and God's going to ask them why they wouldn't receive the word and be corrected. People don't change by exhortation alone. There are areas in all of us that need to be confronted and disciplined. The pastor who refuses to discipline and correct those in sin is in disobedience to God. You young kids, you're trying to win young kids to Christ. Well, I don't dare tell them they're in sin. Then they won't receive Christ. Well, you're going to have to answer to God for that one. How else are they going to know how to live a proper life if you don't tell them what they're doing wrong? And if you're training leaders, how are they going to become real leaders if you don't teach them the truth? I was telling my grandson the other day, he has this little baby that he adores, worships him to pieces. And I said, I'm going to tell you, I said, always make sure that your son is always proud of you and he can look up to you and he can say, that's my daddy. I said, don't do anything that he's ashamed of you. And he looked at me and cried. He said, I promise you, he will always be proud of me. And see, kids want to be able to say, that's my mom or that's my dad. You know, they want to look up to their parents. And they want to be able to say kids to other kids, this is my mom or this is my dad. And when they can't do that, I'm watching in my own kids. It does something to their insides. It messes up their walk with God. One thing I made myself a promise that my kids would never be ashamed of me, and neither would God. And I made sure that I kept myself so that they could be proud to say, this is my mother. You know? I didn't lose anything by living like that. And I hope that my kids were always proud of me. Doesn't matter if they were or not, I knew I was living a proper life. But I made that vow to myself. We need to start making vows to ourselves. This is the way I'm going to live. I told Gabriel, I said, you should care what other people think about you. He said, I don't. But you really should care what other people think about you. I mean, he dresses right. He does everything right. But I don't know what hour of conversation come around to that. But, you know, I always say I don't care what people say about me. I mean, I'm talking about my preaching. But I want people to say that I walked upright before the Lord. You know, I don't want people to say she sat behind a pulpit and lived a different lifestyle when she wasn't there. Are you understanding this? Where am I at? He is unable to lead people into any truly transforming changes in their lives. They will not endure to the end. Okay, so I said the pastor who refuses to discipline and correct those in sin is in disobedience to God. That pastor is unable to lead people into any truly transforming changes in their lives. They will not endure to the end if they cannot be corrected. All right? We need to become a people who say, Lord, show me what needs to be changed in me. And I'm talking about growing up. I was talking to my oldest daughter the other day on the phone, and I said, you know, I said, every trial and every test we go through grows us up and gives us integrity. We got to talking about that, and she said, you know, you made me look at that in a different way. And see, if you're walking upright before the Lord, you can cause other people to look at things differently than what they always looked at them. Because we think we're all right in some areas, and lo and behold, we're not. All right? And it isn't until God uses somebody to point that out to us that this part of us needs to be changed. All right? Proverbs 15:5 says, a wise man will receive a rebuke, and he will prosper, but a fool rejects his father's discipline. I thought that was a very good scripture. A wise man will receive a rebuke, and he will prosper, but a fool rejects his father's discipline. All right, let's talk about personal offense. It is often our pride that suffers offense most easily. A, pride leads us to expect more than we deserve. B, pride is a form of self-worship. God must destroy our pride, and to do so, he will allow offenses to expose what we lack in humility. You hear that? Read that again. God must destroy our pride, and to do so, he will allow offenses to expose what we lack in humility. It is not wrong to expect encouragement for our good works, but we cannot be offended when it doesn't happen in the timing we are expecting. I will vindicate you. I'm going to be honest, one day I said, God, when are you going to do this? And so now my philosophy is, I don't care if I'm never vindicated. I know what I'm doing, and I know what God's called me to do. It doesn't matter what people think about that. You have to come to that point. That you don't care if you never see the vindication on this earth. You know you're doing what is right before the Father. All right? You must make every offense become an opportunity to become more Christ-like. The occasions for taking offense are practically endless. Every day we are given the opportunity to either be offended by something or to possess an unoffendable heart. The Lord promises that he has given us a new heart, a soft and treatable heart that can be filled with his spirit and abound with his love. That's a promise he's given us in his word. I want you to repeat that last verse with me. Lord, forgive me for being so easily offended and for carrying offenses. Father, my heart is foolish and weak. Grant me the unoffendable heart of Jesus Christ. Amen. Every day you have an opportunity to be offended. Every day. It's because it's you that the enemy's working at to become offended. You have to work on that every day. And you have to determine your heart that you're not going to be offended by the silly, stupid things that people say to you. And you have to determine your heart that if God's chastising you, you deserve it. And take his chastisement with love, knowing that he loves you and he wants the very best for you. In this day and age, I have never seen so many people offended. They walk in offense in the church and out of the church. I believe that's why there's so much hate in the world. I really do, because if you're always offended, you have hate. And everywhere you go, somebody's doing something dumb. You say, why did they do that? It's because the world is walking in offense. That's what God told me. And he said, until the church gets control of that offense, gets it out of the church, it's always going to be in the world. Because the church is supposed to carry to the world Jesus. Jesus wasn't offended. He didn't walk in offense. And you don't say, I have a right, because I said that one day. Don't ever say that to God. You don't have no rights. I have a right to be offended. Okay, you want to be offended? You have rights? Go ahead. He walks away. He walks away. You know, the Holy Spirit is very easy to be grieved. People can be doing something around about you, and they can grieve the Spirit in you. And steal your anointing. Now, that happens to me quite often. Now, do I get offended because they're not walking right and they grieve the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit leaves because they're around me? Or do I pray, Father God, correct in them what is wrong so that when they're around me, they won't steal the anointing? Now, if you're really walking in the Spirit, you can say that that's happened to you. You'll be just really fully anointed, and all of a sudden it's gone. It's because somebody was around you that was doing something they shouldn't have been doing, and the Holy Spirit was grieved, and the Holy Spirit left them, but he also left you because you were connected. You have to understand this. Or what will happen if you can't understand that, you'll get offended at God. And you'll blame God for everything that's going on in your life that you perceive as negative, when it isn't God's fault at all. It's not the person around you, but it's you. You're the one that's not walking the way you should walk with God. You young girls are getting, I keep saying girls, there's going to be boys too, but you young people, you're going to find that to be the truth. You're going to find out that you could just feel the anointing so strong on you, but all of a sudden, it's gone. You don't know why. It's because people have come around you. They're not walking right with God. That's why your staff should, who's ever up in the staff, should always be walking with God. But if not, they will destroy the anointing that God, and the miracles that God is trying to do. So that's a very good point that you have to think about. How many of you really want to walk in the anointing totally and completely? When I first started the ministry, I was totally anointed all the time, all the time. And see, I didn't have anybody connected to me that was doing something they shouldn't be doing. So it didn't affect my anointing. But when I got married, it started affecting my anointing. And we didn't have the great signs, wonders, and miracles that we had before I got married, because my husband wasn't walking fully in the way of God. And because he was always around me, it was stealing that anointing. And I'm telling you, it's because a lot of you say, well, how can God do that? And so God explained it to me, so I'm explaining it to you. So it's very important that the people around you are living a holy, righteous life, so that God can go ahead. And that's why I think sometimes you shouldn't get married, and you can be all alone, and you don't have to worry about what that foolish mate's doing. You know, boy, somebody really agreed. But, you know, because they will steal your anointing. And what God's trying to do, he can't do. So please, if you're married, make sure that you're walking in holiness and righteousness, and that you're in agreement with your mate, and that you're allowing God to move through them and do what he desires to do. Many ministries are going to be lost because that's what's happening. One or the other, the mate, is not walking in the fullness of God. You ladies, you that think you need a husband, you just need to be quiet. God's your husband, all right? And you know, and just then you don't have nobody stealing the anointing. Thank God you're alone in your house, because nobody's going to be in that house except you, and ain't nobody there to steal the anointing. So, you know, sometimes you just want to get away by yourself, right? Because you can feel the darkness around, and you're trying to hear God's voice and trying to do what God wants you to do, but all that darkness is heavy, and it'll steal from you. So you have a choice to be offended or not to be offended. It tickles me when you get offended at me. I have to laugh, because I think you're really wasting your time, spinning your wheels, and I'm not upset at all, but you're just making a fool of yourself. That's the way each one of you should be, to the place where that's how you feel. Because you know you're walking where God wants you to walk, saying what God wants you to say, and knowing that people are going to get upset with you. And it's because you know that people's going to get upset with you, you're not going to get offended. Because you're strong. You're a mighty tower. A strong tower and a mighty warrior is what I wanted to say. That's not always true. Some days the devil can come into your life and just steal everything away from you. Then you have to get it back, and you have to pray and seek God's face and get it all back again. But if you will live a life where you won't become offended. I always say, you know, say when people get stupid with me and they get offended at something they do, I like to take them and put their head in the toilet and flush it. You know, maybe wash that stupidity out of there, that offense. But there's not a hole big enough in any toilet to do that, so we can't do that. I was cleaning the toilet the other day, and I thought, nobody's head would fit in there. It's not a big enough hole. But really and truly, why do you want to walk in offense? There's too much joy out there. Every day you walk in offense, you miss out on joy. So why do you want to do that? You kids, teach that to your people. Don't look at older people that are being dumb. Learn now when you're younger and walk in the truth of God's word, and don't walk in offense. Amen. All right. There's that song again, "The Rain's Coming." And God's saying, you don't want to miss the rain. And if you're walking in offense, you're going to miss out on what God's getting ready to do. Before this year's out, the great revival is going to be here. And the year is not too far from being out. So we need to get ourselves totally right with God right now, this second. You know, every time we meet, we need to let God cleanse us of whatever it is that's bothering us. And tonight, what do you think it is tonight? It's offense. So if you want to make sure that you're not walking in offense, God will touch you tonight when you come to the altar, where he will free you from offense. Or if you aren't walking in offense, he will cover you. He will cover you where offense will not ever bother you. The altar's open.